It's Art Spotlight. I'm John Clare. This month, WBAA and Delphi Opera House partner for three performances of folk, jazz, and classical music. September 19th is Christopher Lehr and Liz Carroll. On September 22nd, the Mark Ortwein Jazz Tet performs, and the Vivaldi Project is featured on September 20th. They performed in the WBAA studios. The Vivaldi Project performing in the WBAA studios. I spoke to them about their upcoming performance. And I imagine you guys have some great conversations, because I was tickled at some of the bowing, which we can't see on the radio, but I was tickled sometimes that you guys are doing some up-ups, and then when it repeats, you do the same sort of bowing and whatnot. And so that takes a lot of discussion on how you guys not only want to articulate it, but I imagine to make it the same and yet a little different,
especially because these early manuscripts are incredibly inconsistent. So there is a lot of discussion about, like, whose part are we going to go by, because Liz will have four notes slurred and I'll have two slurred and two separate or something like that. So that's where our good taste comes in to play. So we or our powers of argument, perhaps.
Plus, actually, that's one of the joys and delights of using this equipment, because there's an incredible range and palette of expression that you get with your what I call bowing vocabulary. So that becomes a huge part of your interpretive choice of how you're doing. And what happens, especially with the earlier bows, which is what we did the Hoffman with, these bows have what I call this big wide range of a syllabic inflection. So it's really, if you can just make the analogy to a singer and how they're nuancing certain syllables. And you can do that because you can control the stick a lot with a very small amount of figure. And it's something you can do on the modern bow, but it's not something that we were actually taught to do. So that's one of the things we've discovered. So that's an incredibly astute observation, frankly.
Well, it's to me, the scores are usually in the composer's handwriting. So you get a little bit of that, you know, that sometimes you see a note that's a little darker, but sometimes there aren't bowings, and that's something you know, and there might be a dot, there may not.
And the other thing is, each one of these composers, so we've recorded 17 on that first, but Stephanie is really being very humble about this. She's the one who's really found all these trios. And I don't know if you mentioned the fact that you found over 2,000.
Well, I didn't find them.
No, she has brought them to our attention. Let's put that way. So we have stacks and stacks of these blobby manuscripts. and that we're trying to decipher. So I can't care what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's we're talking. I know, right? About notation, about dots and.
Actually, no. But one of the things is, so it's all these different composers that we don't know. And for me, what I've discovered is each one of these composers uses notational language in a very personal way. So you can see two different trios by two different composers, and the page looks remarkably similar. And then you go, oh, I see. No, this guy uses, dots because he means this, but the other one uses the exact notation and means something completely different. And you start to get familiar with their personal quirks, and then that helps you make choices.
And actually, this idea of interpreting notation is a big part of what we're doing. And the music really doesn't actually have a lot in it. There's just not a lot of information. And I have repeated eighth notes often. And if I played all of them the same way, it just would not work. And so I make all kinds of choices about how long to play them, how short to play them. So one measure that looks exactly like the measure I just played, I'm going to play it completely differently. And this is where the fun really starts, because what I do is going to affect what they do. And I might tell them something that I want them to do by the way I play, and they might tell me something they want me to do by the way they play. And so we kind of intuit it. And we try and map it out, but sometimes we leave a little bit of it open for spontaneity, because this music is live. It's meant to be played live, and it's communication. And so you just don't know quite exactly what's going to happen.
That's the beauty. You can get a couple of recordings on MSR Classics of the Vivaldi Project, and there's more at VivaldiProject.org. The Vivaldi Project live in the WBAA studios. They perform on September 20th at the Delphi Opera House. Coming up September 19th, it's Christopher Lehrer and Liz Carroll, and on September 22nd, hear the Mark Ortwein Jazz Tet. It's a concert series with WBAA and the Delphi Opera House. You can find out more at WBAA.org. For WBAA's Art Spotlight, I'm John Clare.